Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil Advocates Radio Show. How you doing, E-Bone? Lightly screening the calls here in the world headquarters, Madison, Wisconsin. And no, Dominic, he'll be back on Tuesday, taking a little time with his sweetie. But I've got the incomparable Batman co-deviling with me today here in the Madison studios. Matt Rothschild, welcome back.
Thanks, Crudy. Thanks for having me. It's good to see you.
And, of course, you are from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, the executive director thereof. That's sort of a big deal. The watchdogs of campaign spending and all kinds of political spend. But Matt, we got you here today as a pundit, as a sidekick, as a co-devil. Looking forward to it. And we got a intriguing headline right from the top. And my only regret, we do this little program, this little foray on the airwaves, 4 to 6 p.m. And it seems like Bruce Murphy over at Urban Milwaukee, I mean, he's one of the hardest working political journalists in the state, one of the few remaining political journalists in the state. And Bruce drops late columns. And yesterday we missed the headline. Bruce Murphy dropped a big old bombshell, to my opinion, about Bob Spindell. And you may say, Bob Spindell, who's that? Well, first and foremost, I hold the fact that he is a fraudulent Trump elector against him. He is a Wisconsin Elections Commissioner, one of the three Republican appointees, but he's also being extensively quoted in the Bruce Murphy. Matt, how you doing, man?
I mean, this is an incredible coup, journalistic coup by Bruce Murphy, who I admire a great deal at Urban Milwaukee. That's urbanmilwaukee.com. He's been a veteran investigative reporter here in Wisconsin for years and years. And yeah, he busted this thing wide open about Spindell. So Spindell is this Republican hack who Devin Lemahieu put on the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Spindell is one of the false electors, like you pointed out, Crudy. On the Wisconsin Elections Commission, Spindell wouldn't even recuse himself when Law Forward brought a complaint that the false electors were violating our campaign finance laws. So he's got no ethics whatsoever. We knew that. But what we didn't know was that he was going to brag about voter suppression of Black and Latino voters in Milwaukee. And so what happened was, somehow, Bruce Murphy got hold of an email that Spindell had sent out to his fellow Republicans, because he is a chairman of the Republican Party's 4th Congressional District, which includes Milwaukee. And Spindell couldn't help himself from bragging about
sort of a post-mortem email, if you will,
yeah,
Batman.
A post-mortem gloat about how they were so successful in suppressing Black and Latino votes in Milwaukee. And, you know, as soon as I saw that, I was saying, wow, this story is a blockbuster. And I tried to, you know, I put it on Facebook and Twitter and tried to get other folks to pay attention to it. And a lot of people saw the same thing and had the same response as I did. So AP put it out. Scott Bauer put it out. Molly Beck covered it at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It's a big story. People are calling for him to resign, including Ann Jacobs and Mark Thompson, two of the Democratic commissioners on the Wisconsin Elections Commission. And a lot of people are telling Devin Lemahieu to fire him, basically, because Lemahieu has that power.
The Republican Senate leader who appointed Spindell to this elections
right.
commission.
The Senate Majority Leader, the second most powerful person in the legislature.
Who's Robin, the most powerful?
Robin Voss's little,
how is the assembly guy more
baby
powerful?
Brother. There he is. I mean, if you've ever seen the two of them together, I mean, Lemmy, who barely opens his mouth. He just let Voss do all the talking. I mean, that's how they were on the gerrymandering issue, and that's how they are on most things. But on this one, it is squarely in Lemieux's lap. So I am urging listeners to contact Devin Lemieux. Here's his phone number, 608-266-2056. The 608 is easy. You know the 608. So all you got to remember is 266-2056. Call Devin Lemieux and tell him to drop Spindell. Spindell has got to go. Or you can send him a tweet at Senator Devin. That's D-E-V-I-N. Send him a tweet and tell him to get rid of him. Or send him an email at sen, S-E-N, dot Lemieux. That's L-E-M-A, Lemma, H-I-E-U, at legis.wis.gov. And tell him to drop Bob Spindell. Bob Spindell's got to go.
You look like me there for a moment, Batman, trying to spell LeMahieu.
LeMahieu, Lemieux. You know, I've heard it pronounced both ways. The weird thing is I have a letter from Lemieux up on my wall, because the first thing I did when I got to be at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign 8 years ago was I went and testified about money in politics and, you know, we need disclosure of dark money. And so Lemieux says, well, are you going to disclose your donors? Like it was a big gotcha. And I had a post-it note on my computer. We've got to list our donors to the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. So I said, you know, I'm glad you asked that question, because we're doing that tomorrow. And then he sent me a handwritten note, thanks for testifying. So since this was one of the first things I did at my job, I figured I'll put that memento up on the wall. But there it is. I mean, Devin Lemieux, he's a right-wing Republican. He understudy to Robin Voss, but here he has the power to get rid of Bob Spindell. And anyone who believes that voter suppression is against our democracy, anyone who is repulsed by the fact that this Republican would brag about suppressing especially Black and Latino votes, given the sordid history of the United States, you know, let's get on Senator Lemieux's tail and tell him to get rid of this guy.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I got a fine co-devil today. He is Matt Rothschild from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Call him Batman up around here. And yesterday I was late to the party. The Bruce Murphy, the breaking this very important story about Elections Commissioner Bob Spindell and his glee over the suppression of Black votes in Milwaukee. And they call it a game plan. He's very proud of how this was accomplished. But there's some updated reporting by Bruce Murphy today. This dropped just a few hours ago, 1 o'clock this afternoon. According to Murphy, Spindell defends himself and spins his comments. Now, again, these were emails. So the entirety of the context was known to Murphy. He had the emails. And the emails were sent out as the 4th Congressional District chair of the Republican Party of the great state of Wisconsin, this little postmortem Christmas missive sort of bragging about the outcome. And that is, you know, what was the basis of Murphy's reporting. And now it's all over the press. As pointed out by Batman, Associated Press dropped a story. Molly Beck dropped a story. And when we come back, our buddy, well, I guess we got more time. What am I doing? Yeah, I thought we're down to like our last minute here. Let's jump into it. Crudy now looks at the clock and realizes we got a little more time. On Monday, Urban Milwaukee published a column. The column yesterday, we've been talking about it. GOP leader, that's Bob Spindell, thrilled to suppress city vote, the city being Milwaukee, which quoted an email message sent on January 2nd, I guess post-Christmas, to Republicans in the 4th Congressional District by District Chair Robert Spindell, Bob, bragging about the party's effort to suppress the vote in predominantly minority neighborhoods. Here's a quote from today's column. We can be especially proud of the city of Milwaukee, 80.2% Dem vote, casting 37,000 less votes than cast in the 2018 election, with the major reduction happening in the overwhelmingly Black and Hispanic areas. You're hearing him brag about basically suppressing Black and Latino votes, right, man?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty blunt there. Especially proud of suppressing the votes in Black and Latino areas in Milwaukee. I mean, come on now, man.
So here's more from Bruce Murphy today. This is the update. Since Spindell is also a member of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, this comment has caused outrage from Democrats calling for Spindell to step down from the commission. Guys like Mark Thompson, you hear him here on Monday nights, the Paul Revere Show, Ann Jacobs, she was the outgoing chair of this commission. Hell, Bob Spindell thought he should have been the chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, but back to Murphy's reporting and coverage by the Associated Press and Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. In an effort to defend himself, Spindell sent the AP and the Journal Sentinel a five-page memo. He says he wrote, which sounds very different from the January 2nd memo, the AP story offers this quote from Spindell. This is the new quote. This is the change of tune quote. The Democratic candidates were unable to obtain, even though they really tried hard, the votes they needed, expected, and demanded from the Black community. There is a great deal of much more concentrated work we need to do in Black and Hispanic communities by continuing to show how Democratic elected officials and candidates are not watching out for the livelihoods of people who live in these areas, and the Republicans can. Now, the Journal Sentinel story by Molly Beck chooses not to quote the line from Spindell's January 2nd email crowing about reducing the vote in overwhelmingly Black and Hispanic neighborhoods. And the paper ran a headline saying he was proud of the lower turnout in Milwaukee. The AP headline, by contrast, says he bragged about the GOP efforts in 2022 to suppress votes in the areas with Black and Hispanic populations. Anyways, a little bit more from the Journal Sentinel story, again, being quoted by Bruce Murphy at Urban Milwaukee Today. We must remember, in the strategy of things, it is often extremely difficult and hard to convert a hardcore, long-term generation-type Democrat to all of a sudden bring himself or herself around to vote for a Republican. However, here's the quiet part out loud, folks. However, by our Republican efforts, pointing out strongly how the Democratic candidates are worse than, or certainly not better than their perception of Republican candidates at all level, they hopefully cannot bring themselves to vote for either one. In a Democrat city or Democrat county where up to 80% of the people are voting for the Democrats, that's a good thing and helped ensure that Ron Johnson got over the goal line, Batman.
I mean, there it is in black and white. Voter suppression is a good thing. This is from Bob Spindell, who still unbelievably sits on the Wisconsin Elections Commission. This guy's got to go. That's outrageous.
It would seem that Republicans would disagree with you, Matt. I heard the talk on Righty Whitey Talk Radio. They take a different spin. More Devils. We'll be right back.
You say Spanky was in a lot of...
The Devil's Advocates, tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I got Batman here, co-devlin with me all day long. He is Matt Rothschild from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. And we will, although I always have reservations when I, you know, say call us, but call us. We'll take your calls. 844-967-2789. The most troubling headline of the great state of Wisconsin. I think, Batman, I think we agree that a Wisconsin elections commissioner is bragging about the suppression of Black and Latino votes. And really, in his initial email to the 4th CD, where he is the apparently the Republican chair, the initial reporting from Bruce Murphy, not sort of the take the sharp edges out of it, letter that he sent off to these other press organizations, Spindell effectively said this was a directed campaign. We can't convince them to vote Republican, but if we run enough negative ads, effectively we will convince them everybody's bad. Stay home. What a strong endorsement for democracy this elections commissioner makes, don't you think, man?
I mean, it's just disgraceful. He's crowing about, and this is a direct quote now from his email, the major reduction happening in the overwhelming Black and Hispanic areas. And he was crediting, you know, the biting Black radio negative commercials that the Republicans were running in the last couple of weeks of the election. You know, this is knowledge and malice aforethought that they were trying to suppress the vote. And it's been a long established Republican game plan. The fewer voters who vote, the better it is for Republicans. That was the whole idea behind voter ID and Scott Walker. And here we have it in a racist admission, actually, from Bob Spindell.
Well, it shouldn't come as a shock to anyone that pays attention around in this great state, because you mean, whether it is a direct, hey, we suppress black votes, like, you know, Bob Spindell apparently saying out loud, or, you know, just the, you know, the crime of Milwaukee. There often seemingly are these broad characterizations directed at the most metropolitan city in the state. But Matt, if truly these efforts, and if we compare, and I did not verify the veracity of the January 2nd email by Bob Spindell off to the 4th CD Republicans, but if what he says is true, if they depress the Milwaukee vote amongst black and Latinos by 37,000 votes, and Mandela Barnes effectively lost by 27,000 votes, well, Ron Johnson effectively owes his reelection to this negative campaign. I guess they are crowing about it.
Yeah, and, you know,
Mandela, mission accomplished.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing. I mean, Mandela Barnes also was the victim of really racist ads from Ron Johnson and from the misnamed Wisconsin Truth Pact that was funded by Diane Hendricks and Richard Eline. And Barnes himself, I mean, let's be frank, ran horrible ads himself and bears some responsibility, too, for losing. But the fact that he was the victim of this highly organized effort to suppress black and Latino votes, and the person who was... one of the people behind it was Robert Spindell, one of the Wisconsin elections commissioners. And that guy still is a Wisconsin elections commissioner. Come on now. Isn't there going to be some accountability or responsibility here? He should be kicked off. I'm urging people to contact Senator Lemieux's office, 608-266-2056. Spindell's got to be fired. I also think Josh Call's got to go after the false electors. Bob Spindell's one of the false electors. Where's Josh Call? He's got to get off his tail and do something about this too. But, you know, there's one thing in this email that Bruce Murphy just published. He published the January 2nd email of Bob Spindell. Just jumped out at me. Just saw it for the first time. Wisconsin Election Commission's willingness to help solve Republican encountered problems. Wow. He's saying that they're using the Wisconsin, he's using the Wisconsin Elections Commission to help solve his partisan problems. So, you know, we got a real problem on our Wisconsin Elections Commission when we have someone who is willing to stoop so low as to suppress black and Latino votes in Milwaukee and then brag about it. I don't know which thing is worse, doing the suppression itself or then bragging about it, but both are pretty horrible.
I'm not clear. Certainly it is suppression, and it's all pretty bad. The worst part is that the guy was a fraudulent Trump elector and probably committed a crime, to my assessment, just, you know, layman's opinion on this. And I do think Josh Call, the democratically elected attorney general, should get up off his ass and do something. Now, Josh Call told me when I interviewed him at the Democratic Party convention way back in end of June last year, well, you know, we're going to be deferential to the federal investigations, the DOJ, blah, 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 blah. Okay, fair enough. Dana Nessel, who is the attorney general of Michigan, also a Democrat, as fate would have it, she ain't waiting. She gave them enough time. And she said, well, clearly, these, in Michigan's case, I believe it's 16 fraudulent Trump electors in Michigan, clearly broke Michigan law. I don't need to wait on the Department of Justice. And to my assessment, Batman, I think you and I agree on this, Josh Call sure as hell shouldn't be waiting on the DOJ. What is your job, sir?
Yeah, we've got laws on the books here in Wisconsin against fraud, against impersonating elected officials or officials. So Josh Call and issues on, for that matter, the DA here in Dane County could press charges against Spindell and the other false electors. Look, there's got to be some accountability for this. And I agree with you. These false electors in Wisconsin shouldn't get away with it. There's no reason to wait for Merrick Garland or Jack Smith. You know, let's get on it. And Josh Call, maybe in June when he was talking to you, Crudy, he thought, well, I don't want to be controversial here. I got to win my re-election. He won his re-election. He's in for 4 years. And Ishozan's got nothing to worry about in Dane County here, because this is a very solid blue place. He'd get more popularity if he went after the false electors. We need accountability for the people who are violating the laws here in Wisconsin, trying to deprive us of our right to vote. They wanted to throw away 1,600,000 votes here for Biden. And then this Spindell guy's got to go for this admission of racist voter suppression. We can't let this stuff stand.
Folks who are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show got a special co-devil all day long. He's Batman. He's my good friend, Matt Rothschild, from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. But it's you that makes the show go when you join us, when you're a part. We're going to the phones next. The lines, they're open and toll-free. 844-967-2789. More Devil's Advocates, more Batman, and you on the phones next.
Yes, we will be holding you accountable.
This is really a stinkeroo.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday edition. That makes it Friday Eve up around here. I got a fine co-devil for the day. He is Matt Rothschild. Call him Batman from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. But I promised you, you could be next on the phones. Line him up in the queue at 844-967-2789. Batman, against my better judgment, we're starting with CJ today. Welcome back, CJ. What do you got for us? Oh, where's CJ? Off gallivanting. Lost your opportunity for the day, CJ. 844-967-2789. Karina, welcome, Karina.
Hi, good evening.
So hey, how are you? Yes, ma'am.
Everything. Is racism actually legal in or illegal in the United States?
I'm sorry. Is what illegal or illegal? What I didn't hear what the subject of the question
racism.
Was.
Racism.
Racism? In and of itself, racism is not illegal. But if you do something violent and it's motivated by racial hatred, that would be potentially a hate crime enhancer.
And discriminating against people on the basis of race is a violation of the 14th Amendment. So, having a racist attitude or expressing a racist belief in and of itself isn't criminal unless you're committing another crime, as Crudy said. But if you're discriminating against people on the basis of race, that's a racist activity that's illegal.
So how does it work with freedom of speech?
Well, you can say pretty awful stuff. You may incite someone with hate words. You could incite them to punch you in the nose, and they might have a defensible case, which normally it would be assault. You punch someone in the nose. Well, if I spewed a racial epithet and somebody punched me in the nose, that may be defendable from the...
Under fighting words doctrine, yeah.
So I'm asking all these questions because of that action against Hispanic and African Americans and advocating basically that you really okay sitting home and not to vote for your freedom, not to vote for your voice, not to let people know what you think. It's just fine because we're going to deliver your message. Don't worry about it. So how you can actually go after those people? Because this is ridiculous that on the level of a government, it's the government level. If the government people sending refugees to a governor or a vice president home, then why are so upset about not letting people into this country or somebody talking about we don't need immigrants anymore. Even the people who are the first generation who born here. And
Karina, I'm going to cut you short. I just want to see if we can kind of narrow it down a bit. using race as a determinant, trying to suppress certain demographics of racial voters. Well, unfortunately, that's been happening since Jim Crow. That's been happening since the dawn of voting rights for African Americans at minimum. And I would say that in and of itself, if I put a campaign ad out there and I say, you know what, you know, if it was so blatantly obvious, but they don't, usually they're not blatant. They're usually don't say, hey, if I was black, I'd stay home. What they usually say is, Democrats don't deliver. Democrats don't do this. Democrats don't do anything.
Yeah. What have the Democrats ever done for you? That was their pitch this year, I think.
Well, that in and of itself is a valid argument you could make. I might disagree with it. I might say, well, there's plenty of reasons for African-Americans to get out and vote because these issues affect their lives. But it's up to the actual voters. I don't think it's a crime per se to put out messaging. And the fact that Bob Spindell is an elections commissioner and the fact that he's showing the partisan nature, I think that's far more problematic. I think the fact the guy might criminally have committed a crime as a fraudulent Trump elector and the fact that he's sitting on the Wisconsin Elections Commission, I think that's a far greater problem in this circumstance. But I would say if the Republicans, let's say, had elections inspectors that stood at Milwaukee at black polling places and tried to discourage people, intimidate people, well, certainly that may fall under the Voting Rights Act. There might be differing ways that would be a crime in and of itself. I'm not sure that that's what I heard explained in any of these emails. They weren't claiming that sort of direct confrontational stopping or discouraging people from voting so much as just putting those messages on the airwaves.
Yeah, I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not sure you could make a Voting Rights Act claim or a 14th Amendment claim. You might be able to, but certainly if it wasn't illegal, it was tremendously immoral and just so disreputable to be doing this. But again, this has been standard Republican playbook for generations. I just want to read one quote from 1980 from Paul Weyrich, who was one of the leaders of the Christian Coalition. Here he goes. I don't want everybody to vote. Elections aren't won by a majority of people. They never have been from the beginning of our country, and they're not now. As a matter of fact, and here's the kicker, our leverage in the election quite candidly goes up as the voting population goes down. And here, Robert Spindell was going after a specific part of the voting population, bragging about suppressing the vote of blacks and Latinos in Milwaukee. And I just don't see how this guy can remain on the Wisconsin Elections Commission, given that appalling brag.
You know, I can Batman our good friend Matt Rothschild from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Batman, I can tell you, he's getting air support in real time over on Vicki McKenna's show. Down the dial, Righty Whitey Talk Radio. They're saying circle the wagons. Hell, she's got Sheriff David A. Clark Jr. riding up, you know, he's the posse riding the town in defense of Bob Spindell. Because Bob Spindell effectively is the voice of the craziest fringe of the Republican base, the MAGA base, the election-denying base. But of course, the fact that this man that denies the outcome of the last election, that would be a fraudulent Trump elector, because what, Trump's lawyer said it was okay to do so, it's swell, and then go bragging as a Republican partisan CD chair, hey man, we knocked down these black voters, we found the effective messages that talked them out of voting this time.
Yeah, it wasn't like we convinced them to vote Republican, it's just we made it so ugly out there that they just decided not to cast their ballot. I mean, elections should be won in two ways. One, by getting your own base out, and two, by convincing a fraction of people who don't already agree with you that maybe your ideas are the best ideas. They're certainly better than the other guys. This third way, trying to make it so unpalatable for people even to vote, or erecting obstacles like getting rid of drop boxes or putting in voter ID to make it more difficult for people to vote, that's just reprehensible.
844-967-2789. Cassandra from Madison. Say hi to my friend Matt.
Hi, am I on the air?
Yes, ma'am, you are.
Oh, okay. Oh, great. Well, you know what? I've been listening to the topic of today, and I just want to offer a little bit bit more information. I don't know if you all have had a chance to look at Roland Martin. He did an analysis on the Mandela Barnes race, and he investigated the turnout in Milwaukee and where the voter turnout dropped dramatically was in what he called the Black political power corridor. In other words, these were the areas where there was the Black middle class. For some reason, and I'm still not understanding why, because I don't live in Milwaukee, the Black middle class did not show for Mandela Barnes. And if you have a chance, please YouTube that video and watch the results. Now, the Black middle class, these are people who have IDs. These are people who have a habit of voting. But for whatever reason, they just did not want to support Mandela Barnes. And so the story is a little bit more complicated than just voter suppression from whites. It's not to say that the Republican Party did not employ a strategy where they were trying to stop blacks from voting, but something went on in Milwaukee, and no one really wants to talk about why that Black middle class did not show up. And he showed the voting decline for that particular area from the 2018 midterms and the 2022 midterms. Now, Mandela Barnes, I did vote for him, but to be honest with you, I don't believe he was the strongest candidate. In many ways, he really wasn't ready for this to make this run. I think he should have stayed lieutenant governor, and he should have required a stronger political resume.
Cassandra, do you think, as the lieutenant governor in 2018, he was obviously the sidekick to Tony Evers at the top of the ballot, and right. He was on the ballot that received that higher turnout in 2018. I think there were a lot of times they did funny jokes about, you know, age averaging Tony Evers and Mandela Barnes age, and they're, you know, they're about 45 collectively. You know, there were lots of things, but a lot of the time, Mandela, I mean, Tony would come out, he'd say, hi, and here's my friend Mandela Barnes. And Mandela would give the more dynamic speech. Mandela would be the front man, the pitch man on behalf of the campaign team. Cassandra, understand that 2018 turnout had the same candidate.
Well, you know what? The issues for 2018 and 2022, they were very different. In 2022, people were dealing with an inflation. There were economic issues that people were primarily concerned with. And you know what? If you think about Mandela Barnes's race and his key campaign message, it was, I am the parent of a teacher, and his father being something else.
Working
but there
third
was
shift.
Really nothing more. What's that?
Oh, just talking about his parents' resume. Matt, you, his dad, worked third shift at the plant.
Didn't everybody? I hear you, Cassandra, but let me just say a couple things. One, getting rid of drop boxes hurt turnout in Milwaukee. Number two, the stuff that Bob Spindell's bragging about, these ads that they ran on Black radio in Milwaukee may have had an impact as well. I also think Mandela's own ads were not effective. That peanut butter and jelly ad wasn't good. That ad where he's bringing pizzas into the classroom didn't change anybody's mind. So I think there is a lot to go around there. But to have a guy who's an official in Wisconsin, on, of all things, the Wisconsin Elections Commission, boasting to fellow Republicans about how great it was we suppressed Black and Latino votes in Milwaukee, that is something that just sticks in my throat.
Well, you know what? This, you all should not be surprised that this was their tactic.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
That's all I'm saying. But I will get off the air. I'm sure there are other callers. But I'm enjoying the show.
Well, Cassandra, we appreciate you listening. Thanks for being a part.
I mean, the fact that, you know, no one should have been surprised. The Mandela Barnes campaign shouldn't be surprised about the racist ad that came from Ron Johnson or from Diane Hendricks and Richard Eline. That was another thing that annoyed me about their campaign. They were caught flat-footed when they shouldn't have been caught flat-footed.
I wonder if Mandela Barnes was not the candidate of white progressives. I mean, Mandela lost to Lena Taylor in Milwaukee when he tried to run for state senate. Didn't win the primary. Lost to probably... Lena's got her own pluses and minuses.
But that was a suicide race on Mandela Barnes' part. I don't know why he did it. You know, I've seen Lena Taylor perform in the Capitol. That woman is tough. And she's tough right in the face of Republican elected officials and won't get them, let them get away with anything. And I didn't see how he was going to win that race from Jump Street.
And he did not. Come back with us. Devil's Advocates, you're always a winner when you listen and join us on the phones. 844-96-PARTY.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Matt Rothschild, co-deviling all day long. You can be a part as well. 844-967-2789. Been discussing a Wisconsin Republican appointee to the Elections Commission. I take great umbrage with the fact that he was a fraudulent Trump elector and should be criminally charged. But most of the topic today has been about the fact that he bragged to the 4th CD, where he is the 4th CD Republican chair, bragged to the people he sent an email to. He's been suppressing the vote. And by suppressing the vote specifically, they claim that they had targeted African-Americans and Latino in the Milwaukee area and had convinced them to stay home. In numerically significant numbers, 37,000 in a race that saw Ron Johnson only get reelected by about 27,000 votes. Well, here's a similar headline. I'm throwing this one at you, Matt. You see, the reports are back. The research is back about the Russian bots and their influence on the 2016 campaign. And obviously, there was an effort, what they call them, Russian troll farms. They were making a concerted effort to utilize misinformation, disinformation, and change the outcome of the 2016 presidential election. And if we understand properly, primarily, they were targeting Hillary Clinton. Now, if I recall correctly, there were actually, in regards to the Red Arrow Park, some of the unrest that happened in the Milwaukee area, there were tweets being sent out by this Russian troll farm targeting specifically Milwaukee, trying to create more chaos in the area. But Matt, I think you pulled it up. It wasn't a big deal. Ultimately, the troll farms weren't a big deal. They didn't change the outcomes.
You know, I always was skeptical of the claim. I knew the Russians were trying to influence it, but there was so much going on, so much traffic on social media, so many talking heads on TV, that it seemed an implausible claim that the Russians tipped the balance for Trump. It always seemed to me that, you know, James Comey had more of an influence defeating Hillary Clinton than the Russians did. James Comey, by coming out just a few days before the election saying we're going to reinvestigate Hillary Clinton, which was an outrageous thing to do and against Justice Department policy. And of course, I also think Hillary Clinton owns some responsibility for running a bad campaign, for not coming to Wisconsin, for having a bad slogan like it's her turn. Or her time, or whatever the hell that was.
I'm with her. I mean, do you know, literally, I didn't know the Hillary Clinton bumper stickers during the 2016 elective cycle. I'm like, I thought they were just generic Democratic Party stickers. I didn't even know that was meant to represent her candidacy.
I mean, it's the opposite of what a slogan should do and what a politician who's running for office should do, which is to tell the voter what you're going to do for the voter. And so, I understand where she was coming from, and it was appealing to feminists out there. I get that, but it wasn't appealing to the wider audience. And she needed to get to Wisconsin. She couldn't find Wisconsin with, you know, GPS and a map.
No, I'm not here to defend the campaign team of Hillary Clinton because I took a little umbrage in real time. But she did come to the state of Wisconsin twice earlier before she won the primary, because I broadcast them. I was at UW-Milwaukee in the room when Hillary Clinton broadcast, and a little interesting story, Matt. She had this podium. They had American flags. And before she came to the podium, they had moved her inside from outside. The flag goes crashing into the podium. It would have split her head Oof. Wide open. I mean, anyone standing at that podium, and she was the next speaker. Oof. So this was after they'd cleared all the, you know, the preliminaries.
Who did the advance work there?
This was supposed to be an outdoor event. They moved it indoors. Like, they jammed way more people in the UWM. 3,000-4,000 in a room that probably fit two. I mean, we were in the press pen. They were letting people in the press pen. I stood on a chair so visually I could see the candidate during the course of our broadcast. But anyway, she was there, and then she was on campus here in Madison. Met Dave Weigel from the Washington Post that day. He joined us on the air. But it was an intimate little gathering of like 250 on campus.
How'd she do there?
She was fine. It was about a 20-25 minute speech. Now, I saw Hillary Clinton out in South Central LA the day of the California primary. And people had been waiting at 8 o'clock in the morning. We hit the air at about 1 o'clock Pacific time, about 3 o'clock Central time at that time. And people had been waiting that whole time. She came to the stage about an hour later, did a solid 8 minutes and left. 8 minutes in the sun for 8 minutes of Hillary.
And how was her talk? Was it okay? I know it was short. This isn't a lot for people who are waiting for 6 hours, but
it was brief. I can tell you this, and it seemed unbelievable to so many of our Hillary Clinton supportive friends. And I had David Poof, whatever the guy's name, right. He was on my show a week before the election. What do you think the numbers are? 100% ironclad guarantee Hillary Clinton's the next president. Oof. That's what he's telling people. And I think in no small part, that sort of certainty gave license to those that would stray and vote for a Jill Stein or say, you know what, I didn't like the way it all played out. Now, I personally voted for Hillary Clinton that year. But I believed when the electoral results came down that night, I believed it. And there are so many people, as much as we blame the Trump people, it was rigged. Well, Hillary Clinton wasn't out there telling her supporters it was rigged, but she did certainly bemoan the Comey and the different aspects of the electoral cycle. And there have been many Hillary supportive that have said, I just don't believe Hillary lost. It must have been the Russian troll bots, et cetera, et cetera.
No, it wasn't. And also, where was she in the last 10 days of the election? I remember seeing her going down to Texas and going down to Arizona, and we needed her here. And I also remember, Michael Moore saying, look, Trump can win this thing. And that's because he's in Michigan and he drives around in Michigan. And I was driving around in Wisconsin, and you could leave Dane County and drive to Sheboygan. And once you got out of Dane County, you were not seeing any Hillary signs. All you saw were Trump signs. And again, you could drive up to anywhere, Wausau, you could drive to La Crosse and Eau Claire, the same thing. And so anyone who got outside of Dane County knew that, wow, there's a lot of popularity for Trump out there. And she wasn't connecting with people here because she said, the economy's okay. Let's keep going. And for a lot of people, the economy stank.
I can tell you this. Hillary had the best surrogates. I mean, we got the best. We got everyone from General Wesley Clark to, hell, they'd offer us Hollywood actors. Hey, Hillary's not coming. But she's got the best, coolest friends. Cory Booker. We got so many great guests. Care of the Hillary campaign. But we really want the candidate. I just want to hear her come on the show and say, please vote for me. Bernie Sanders, literally the day of the primary, 2016, state of Wisconsin. I think it was early April. Bernie said, please vote for me. Bernie crushed it. Bernie won the state in the primary by double digits. Donald Trump got beat by double digits. Donald Trump came back to the state of Wisconsin. Barnstorm did about six campaign stump stops in the last 2 months, and he won.
And Bernie was urging, came here and urged people to vote for Hillary, too.
He did. Come back, more devils.
It's not a close call. Those were lies, plain and simple. It's a close call.